Hello and welcome into the game. I'm Tyler Dreiling, joined by Brennan Mentz. We have the cast and crew all over the Sunflower State at the moment. Mitch down in Wichita for MHS girls basketball. John at the Sprint Center. I guess I should say that is in Missouri.
To say he's out of state.
I get it. It's Missouri. You know what I mean. Yes, John is at the Sprint Center for K-State basketball tonight. It's going to be a shorter edition of the game. We'll have you up until 6 o'clock and a lot to get into today. What a start to the Big 12 tournament as the shocker of the conference tournament season, not just in the Big 12, but across the country, just a few minutes ago as Kansas goes down to TCU in the Big 12 quarterfinals, 85-82. What does that mean for K-State and for the rest of the Big 12 as we continue to progress through this tournament? We will talk about tonight's game, K-State facing Baylor with a chance to solidify its NCAA status. We'll also be joined in the second hour by Mitch Fordner, who you just heard on the call for MHS Hoops. We'll get an update from him in the second hour with how things are going in that other quarterfinal. Congratulations to the MHS girls on advancing to the 6A state semifinals for the first time since 2014. Did so very impressively against Olathe Northwest. Excellent performance from Chrissy Carr in today's game. The Lady Indians will take on either Olathe South or Lawrence, and that game will be tomorrow at the same time. It'll be at 3 o'clock, so we will probably have a shorter version of the game tomorrow as well. We'll also have K-State baseball to deal with in addition to everything else. So a very busy sports week, and it's going to transition into a sports weekend here on News Radio KMAN. But let's start off. We're just going to have a couple segments here in this first hour because of MHS basketball running late. But let's start off by talking about this Big 12 tournament, and it's been a very exciting start. There's no doubt about that. And it didn't even start today. Last night, a couple of good games, TCU and Oklahoma, a decent game as the Horned Frogs move on in the first game of the tournament. And then last night, Texas Tech really had Texas by the horns, it appeared, for most of that game. And Texas rallies late to win that one. So the number 10 seed moves on to face West Virginia. And that is the game that is coming up next at Sprint Center. That game tips off at 6 o'clock between number 2 West Virginia, number 10 Texas, and the winner of that one will face the winner of K-State and Baylor. That is the nightcap at 8 o'clock tonight. But TCU beats KU 85-82. I've seen some speculation that maybe the Horned Frogs are back into at-large contention for the NCAA tournament. The more I look at it and where everything stands right now with the other bubble teams, I still think that TCU would need to win the Big 12 tournament to get in. They are 19-14. They went 6-12 in the Big 12. They do get a very nice RPI bump from that win. They jumped from 77 to 65. And just for reference, K-State is at 58 right now in the RPI. So those numbers don't look too bad for TCU, but they've got a lot of losses. Again, they only had a 333 win percentage in conference games this year. I think they're going to need to win a couple more and win the Big 12 tournament to get in. But in any case, they have made a statement with knocking off KU in front of, you know, a very friendly crowd to KU. You could definitely call Sprint Center Allen Fieldhouse East at times. Of course, now it's going to transition into being Hilton Coliseum South. Iowa State has always turned out big time at the Big 12 tournament, and I have seen plenty of reports already that there are a lot of cars headed down 35 going south from Ames to Kansas City now that Iowa State knows that they're going to be playing TCU in the Big 12 semifinals tomorrow instead of Kansas. As far as what it means for KU, I just saw an update from Joe Lenardi, ESPN's lead bracketologist. He says that KU is still in fine shape to be a number one seed. They just likely will not be the number one overall seed in the tournament, but that really will not have a huge impact. They'll still likely be in the Midwest region as a one seed, so they will have a favorable bracket, and they now get the benefit of getting a little bit of rest. And I've seen some of the reaction from Jayhawk fans. Well, we didn't care about this tournament anyway. Now we can get some rest before the real tournament starts. I have a feeling that that you would feel a little differently had you won this game. But there is some truth to that. It is it can be a benefit to get a little bit of additional rest. You don't want too much of it because then it takes a while to get back in the swing of things. But KU will probably not fall off of the number one line with the loss to TCU today. Something that I saw going into the conference tournament season that I think really was proven to be true based on what happened with TCU and KU today, I saw someone out of Vegas that does a lot of betting on college basketball games, and they were tweeting out advice for how to handle conference tournament time and NCAA tournament time, how to handle your betting and things like that. And we're not going to sit here and talk about game lines all day. But what he did say is don't fall for that trap of picking against a team that played the night before just because they played the night before. Once you get to playing 2 days or 3 days in a row or 4 days in a row, then, yeah, you can bring the fatigue into the equation. But in TCU's case, basically what he was saying is, yes, TCU did play last night, but these are athletes that are trained to play 2 days in a row. Do not hold that against them. In fact, it can at times be a benefit because they know the arena a little bit better than they would have if they were coming in and playing just their first game like that. There are situations where you can actually favor a team that played the night before against a team that did not. And maybe you could say that for TCU. I was really impressed with how the Horned Frogs handled themselves in this game. They were down 12 early in the first half, rallied to take a one-point lead into halftime. KU was able to come back and take a couple of leads in the final few minutes, but TCU always made a play to strike back. That's the quality of a really tough team, physically and mentally. And again, I don't think it's going to be enough, at least unless they are to win a couple more games, I don't think it's going to be enough to get them into the NCAA tournament. But what you can say is that Jamie Dixon certainly has done a great job with this program in year one, and things are trending in the right direction.
And you certainly made a great point about TCU having an answer when KU made a push, and particularly that was late as TCU had a 11-point lead with about 14 minutes to go. Of course, the Jayhawks would... they wouldn't actually tie the contest, and actually they took the lead with about 6.5 minutes to go. But if you're listening to the Manhattan High broadcast, I finished a scoreboard update with KU leading 80-78 with about 3 minutes left. And Mitch Fortner, rather tongue-in-cheek, said, okay, that's just going to mean that KU's going to win by 12.
That's what I thought was going to happen. I certainly... well, I'll put it this way. I was in the office here at the studio getting things ready for the show today, and I was keeping an eye on that score just on ESPN's website, and I saw that it was like a tie game with 4 minutes left, and KU had a two-point lead with a couple minutes left, and I'm like, I'm not even going to go in because, you know, you got the TV in there in the studio. I don't have one in the office, and I said, well, if we get down to like a minute left and it's still anyone's game, then I'll go ahead and check it out. But otherwise, I don't feel like I'm missing much. And sure enough, I checked with a minute left, and it's a tie game. And I had to come in here and catch the end of it. And
distract me in the process.
I know. Well, I think both of us were kind of into that game. And that's what's great about March. I mean, it's March Madness already. You do not have to be in the NCAA tournament for March Madness to apply. This one had a very NCAA tournament feel to it. It's just that the difference is KU lives another day. This is not a Bucknell or a Bradley or a Northern Iowa or a VCU or any of the other teams that have knocked KU out of the tournament in recent years. KU does get to lick its wounds and come back to fight another day, and they will be a one seed, it appears, when they do so. And so I guess that's a benefit. But, man, you see the way that TCU celebrates on the court after winning that game, and I'm seeing some quotes from Jamie Dixon and TCU players in postgame. Brandon Parrish, one of their top players, saying that this is the highlight of his basketball career. He has never had a moment like this before.
This is the first time they've ever beaten a number one team.
This is...
period.
I mean...
I understand why.
Yeah, this is...
this is arguably their biggest win in school history.
This is what March is all about. This is exactly what March is all about, and it does not have to be limited to the NCAA tournament. it certainly can get that feel in the conference tournament. We're going to talk a lot more in the second hour about K-State and Baylor, what the Wildcats need to do tonight to beat the Bears for the second time this season, and how close they will be to the NCAA tournament if they are able to do just that. We'll finish off hour one next on the game on News Radio KMAN.